Don't put any of that in there.
Don't put any of that in the episode of Money Draft. JR doesn't want it to be heard.
Money Draft. We can sit in the shower and have beers. my teak bench.
You can sit in the shower with him, man. Think about it.
Money Draft.
On a fried potatoes in there.
Jumbo cold sling blade.
The whole guy's blade.
You got any biscuits? What you got in there?
Money Draft.
Money Draft in the morning. I'm your host, the Fart Man. Ow!
It's JR and the Fart Man.
Oh, fuck, man.
A little bit later on, we're going to prank call people, and they're not going to really understand what's going on. Then we're going to interview Dustin Diamond from Saved by the Bell. Plug in his new show with Zany's Comedy Castle.
I love Zany's Comedy Castle.
We got Slick over there on the soundboard.
Slickety Slick here.
Don't talk so much, Slick. Just do the soundboard stuff.
Beep, boop, boop, beep.
You're going to have to edit it in after, and it's never going to come out. It's like 1,000 edits.
Well, this is
later on in the episode. We'll prank call Slick's wife and pretend to be a girl who's fucking him.
Hello, my name is Cynthia, and I love your boyfriend. What? Who is this? Oh, he's Cynthia, I tell you. I do lots of sex on your boyfriend.
You better look in your jewelry. Make sure you count it. You have such nice jewelry. It is all there. Look, it is all there, but it's very nice.
You shall get better sheets with a higher thread count. It's like banging your boyfriend on sandpaper.
You're very dirty people. I can see in your underwear. Very dirty.
You guys are sick. So, yeah. Money Draft again.
Episode 64. As always.
Last episode.
I'm JR.
With the A-Team ending and with, what's the other one that we liked? What was it? Maddie's Cast? Heavy Meta, yeah.
Cast. That's cool.
Yeah,
man.
So with those cast ending, we've decided this is our last episode of Money Draft. Well, we didn't decide that. I just decided to say that right now. This is a surprise that Slick and JR thought we would.
Yeah, we can go with it, though. Like,
we would go another 5 years and release another 60 episodes.
It's a secret of longevity.
This is what happens when we record episodes too close together, man. The very fabric of the podcast just falls apart.
Like, I can't be releasing a fucking episode of Money Draft willy-nilly every 7 weeks.
You know, it's got to age.
You have to build up that level of subject matter. Because we just see into the future. So, you know, we'll have a cast, we'll talk about stuff, and then stuff will happen the next day that confirms it. Sometimes you don't even need to talk about that because you know that they know. So, I guess what I'm referring to is the recent MTGO announcement by Chris Cox. Which happened, I think, the day after we released our last episode, 2 or 3 days after we recorded it. about the MTGO sort of plan. So Worth used to put out this executive summary that, you know, like 1 year would come out in December, and then the next year came out in January, and then the next year it came out in March under a slightly different name that didn't, you know, wasn't executive summary. And then it's, so it's just like this yearly update almost that used to happen around this time of year in one sense. But of course, like a lot of speculation about the digital next platform and what that means for, you know, the current platform and the digital object value. So I guess there's an announcement next week, and I don't know. I'm not real. The writing has been on the wall for a while that digital objects don't hold value on IHG Online. So it's just, it's more of an incremental thing than a huge binary thing. Although I guess it's possible that they could make some savage announcement, but I would be surprised.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't know. So are you, you're talking about the Chris Cox thing?
Yeah.
So it was like the four paragraph letter, I guess. Is that, did it, was there a longer one? Okay, all right. So,
no,
yeah.
Just that one.
So I'm not really sure what about this indicates that they're, and I read this before and I didn't think about it, and then I saw the hullabaloo on Twitter, but I'm like, I don't really get anything from this announcement that there's directly even implying a little bit that like Moto's going away. Like,
I
that's
agree.
What confused me. Like, I'm like, what is this all about? Like, why are, I don't
people
understand.
Are sort of jumping to conclusions. I think clearly, the next platform, I think what's going to happen is you're going to have two platforms. You're going to have the next plat, which is going to be like kind of the Hearthstone clone, which maybe is going to merge with Duels, and that'll just be like, you know, you can play it on whatever, on your phone, on whatever platform, and the digital objects aren't worth anything. And then I think there's going to be the quote-unquote legacy kind of clunky PC game that keeps going, and maybe the cards will go down in value because less people will play it or whatever, but I don't see them really. I mean, something they might do is like affect how those objects are traded on the existing platform, but I think for the next few years, the way I would just, I see like two different platforms, and they're not going to mix. I don't see them having some weird thing where you have to port them over, you know, into this like lower value system, but who knows?
Yeah, they've made dumb decisions before. Let's not pretend they don't have the capacity to make really fucking terrible,
I think,
questionable decisions.
Yeah. But the writing has been on the wall for me. The day that I sold the most cards ever, like I sold like 1,000 tickets worth of cards, was when they announced the flashback drafts about a year ago, the year of flashbacks, which basically, your modern flashbacks, meaning they're reprinting every card in modern. So the writing has been on the wall for a while that MTGO cards don't hold value like paper cards, even though paper has become a little bit more like MTGO in the sense that you almost like buy low, sell high is almost literally good advice, you know, with some filters. But I just think it shouldn't really surprise you, and you shouldn't really be having like a significant percentage of your money in MTGO, because it's like something could happen where like tickets go down by 10% or more overnight, and you just shouldn't be able to lose like $1,000 a day through your Magic investments.
Yeah. No, well, I mean, I think the people that are like Magic Online whales are probably not. I mean, I know people that have significant amounts of money in there, but I'm just saying, like.
Yeah, and that's another reason to think why there's like enough commercial level activity there that I feel like the platform is going to be the platform separate from the new platform, and the question will be like what the dollar amount of tickets is, or, you know, whatever. And then eventually, 5 years plus down the road, maybe they'll be consolidated so they won't have to maintain like two different, you know, rules spaces or whatever. But I'm not like super, it's just been like such a slow continuous process. Like people have been like extra sensitive to it recently, but really it's been like my Magic Online collection topped out beginning of like 2014 at like 6,000 tickets, and now it's down to 3,000, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it's been like I've taken out like over 1,000 tickets, but mostly it's just been like playing Magic. I probably like spent 5,000 tickets like in terms of entry fees over that time, so
yeah.
But
Yeah. I don't know, man. I think I agree with you. I mean, I think the most logical thing to see here is that they're going to is that they would, you know, just have a new platform and then phase Moto out slowly. So you don't have to tell anybody, like, oh yeah, your whole collection is, like, useless. So you
suck
just,
a
oh,
well, dick,
we're,
nerd.
We're just providing another option. People don't have to take it.
Yeah. You know? So the other thing that happened was that Worth announced that he was leaving WotC last week.
Yep.
Which, on this cast, we're not the most friendly bunch, but we're not trolls, and we're not bomb throwers. And we wish him well.
I mean, the bombs we throw don't make the cast usually.
Except when Slick aggressively edits, like Slick edits the cast in a way that makes me seem sadistic. When really I just enjoy fiascos. And the difference is like a fiasco.
JR, stop. You're digging a hole, man. You're digging a hole.
The difference is that a fiasco is at least partially avoidable.
Oh, is this about... Because what I thought was really funny was you said something about our friend Norbert in one of the episodes that Slick edited the cast to. You were talking about somebody else, but it sounded with no context at the beginning of the cast like you were talking about him. And I just realized that.
That made me feel nervous.
You would probably think we were shitting on him, and I thought that was really funny.
I almost made Slick re-edit the episode.
I think you've only threatened to do that like twice in the history of Money Draft, and like, I guess both times like it might have been worth it, but like, I didn't try to make it misleading per se.
But I was calling someone else a dum-dum, not even necessarily in like a Magic person sphere, but Slick edited it in a way that made me sound like really mean. And sadistic, as he does, because it's funny. Like, the less that I get laid, the funnier it is for him, and the happier he is.
Dude, do not blame my podcast editing on you not getting laid.
You get a lot of pussy from podcast listeners? Is that like your normal pipe for it?
Maybe I could. I don't know. That's the whole point of the cast.
Yeah.
He should edit that out.
Nope.
Yeah, but he knows that he's not gonna. He
doesn't
he knows
edit out enough.
Dude, I let it fly, man. Once we start recording the episode, you know, no takesy backsies.
But the people that I talk shit on kind of deserve it. I don't just talk shit on people for like saying something like people who act smart, and you know, that's what I'm talking about. Who act smart but have content that's not, you know, that helpful or compelling or whatever.
Oh man! But, so anyway, so Worth leaving. Do you think he got fired? Or do you think he left?
I think he probably had the worst fucking job on the planet.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah. His job was tough. Like, I would not want that job. Unlike design, like I was much when I was like joking that people should get fired. I wasn't talking about him on the last episode. I was talking more about design, like to the extent that.
Well, they fired him. Someone at WotC heard the episode. They're like, "We should fire Worth, and it's your fault." And now his kids are going to starve. Yeah.
I know Blake. Like he listens to it right away because there's no telling what we'll say. If someone is going to say some fucked up shit about Magic.
Dude, there's 0% chance that guy listens to our podcast.
I don't know.
Didn't we make the weekly daily MTG mentions one time?
No.
No. We had. We would have, like, when we had Finkel on, but, like, said something in the episode, like, we have no allegiances. Fuck WotC.
That's a very Marcel move.
Also, like, the daily thing was just starting at that point. It was, like, the first week of the daily thing. But sometimes I think people don't listen to the cast just because we have that mature warning. Sometimes I think we should just, like, take that off.
No, JR. Sometimes I think we should just let it fly.
Sometimes people just think, like, oh, it's mature. But sometimes, like, episodes are fine. It's just, like, very subtle levels of, you know, enjoying fiascos and so forth. But to me, like, the combo, it's still unclear if that was a mistake, and it still seems impossible that it was a mistake, but they haven't said otherwise, and all of their quote-unquote body language is very, like, shruggy and shitty, and they're acting like it was a mistake.
It's not that good a combo, I don't think, man. I think once people start playing with it, everyone's like, all right. They put a card that makes creatures come into play tapped in the previous set. They fucking knew this was coming.
That's what everyone's saying, yeah. So that's another reason. But beyond that, just the fact, even without that card existing, it already is hard to believe that that combo could slip by. With this card, like, if you print this card, the Feldar Guardian, you have to look at every other card in the format that has the word copy on it. It's just like something that anyone would do.
And they already... Saheeli's thing is copying.
Yeah.
Saheeli's artistry or whatever also makes copies of shit.
So, I don't think... I don't know. If it didn't slip by and they're just like... Why don't they just say, like, it's fine. It was intentional. I don't know why it bothers me so much, but it's just kind of shitty. Because, their body language, so to speak, is very... like, sort of hurried and not organized and, you know, not straightforward.
I think they're mad. I'd be mad. It's like, let's give them something nice for standard. Let's give them a fucking combo. We haven't had one of those in a while. And everyone's like, you fucking retards. How could you not see this combo coming? And their body language is like, I fucking hate everybody who plays this fucking game. That would be my body language. Trying to give these fucking people good standard is too expensive. We'll put masterpieces in the cost of the packs will be lower because people will buy more packs trying to get these masterpieces, and standard will be more affordable. Oh, now my collection lost all its value. Thanks, WotC. Like, I would just fucking hate everybody. I would hate reading every. I would just, like, when I woke up in the morning and saw I had Twitter notifications, I would just be like, wait, I do that now. When I wake up in the morning and see I have Twitter notifications, I'm like, oh good, more messages from fucking nerds.
Yeah, all negative.
All negative.
All nerds trying to correct you and be smart.
Or asking me questions for shit they could easily Google themselves.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know what? You guys are the worst thing about Magic. It's not Magic Online. People complaining about Magic Online are the worst part of Magic Online. And, like, that's true for every other thing that everyone thinks is worth complaining about. Like, if you have a problem with something that WotC's doing, the biggest problem is your fucking complaints about it. And you should go fuck yourself and make your own card game, because I hate you.
There are too many people making card games, though. Can't get behind that.
Ooh, spicy.
I mean, I know I'm going to sound like an old man, and in the future, like, everyone will be unemployed, and so, like, making games will be a big thing, but too many people looking to make, like, card games at this point. If there were a card game to make, it would be one that would be invulnerable to gambling laws, in the sense that it would be deterministic, and it would be, like, Stratego. Like, Medina actually said something about this the other day, in terms of, like, uncertainty versus randomness. And so, like, Magic and Heart, like, they have randomness, but, you know, Stratego just has uncertainty because, like, you basically stack your deck. So that would be, like, if I were to invent a card game, it would have to do that to be interesting to me. So, but in general, like, I'm an old man. I'm like, why are so many people, like, playing, you know, trying to be all, you know, like, it just seems indulgent to me, you know,
to make a card game,
to like have your job be more generally to have your job be like playing Magic. I sound like a dick.
Everybody needs a side hustle these days. Not everybody's a money draft millionaire. Some people are fucking poor and they would like to
people
elevate their position, and I'm more power to them, man.
It's
claw your way out of poverty.
It's tough. Like, even like you have like good degrees and the fucking economy is fucked up. Chinese people stole your job.
Chinese people did steal my job, though.
Yeah.
So I make more money now anyway, just being fucking smart. That's all you gotta do. You just gotta be smarter than people who play Magic.
Yeah, I think the thing about Magic is just like one of those things where it's like there's a lot of smart people doing it, and there's probably easier but less sexy things to do, like running some random business, running some deli. Like, it's less interesting than playing Magic, but I don't know. Even that, like, what does that even mean? Because you need, like, the money to be able to buy a deli. So my
look at this guy thinks obvious. Fucking delis grow on deli trees, eh? Delis ain't fucking free, you mook.
You just buy a fucking deli and you run the deli.
Just take a small loan of $1 million from your dad and go buy a fucking deli. Bada boom! It's got to be an Italian.
My generation,
deli.
We'll talk about that later too. I'm from another
Giacomo generation. Giacomo run a deli? Is that why you signaled out that particular business? Because your brother Giacomo runs a deli?
Yeah.
Did you give him his startup capital, or did he have to come by that honestly?
No. It's all his. I'm pissed off because I thought it wouldn't, you know, it'd fail or whatever. And then his lack of failure is making me angry. So, but it's easy money.
I don't know, man. You got to talk to fat people if you run a deli.
Not in New York. That's the thing. Like, I don't know about a deli outside. Like, I'm talking about, like, a New York deli. You find a good block with, like, a certain residential density that doesn't already have a deli, like, within a couple blocks.
Hey, who ordered two flimsy pieces of bread with a pound and a half of pastrami, making it impractical as a sandwich? Who ordered that? Oh, everybody here? All right.
Hey, man, I may not even, like, serve meat. It may not be, like, a deli proper. Like, I'm just, you know.
What is just like Giacomo have a traditional Italian deli?
No.
Tell me more about Giacomo's deli.
It's actually like a head shop, kind of. It's like a low grade head shop, you know.
It's a low grade.
It's called the deli. In quotes is nothing but bongs and frisbees and shit.
Hacky sacks, vintage.
Where he draws the line is that he doesn't carry nitrous.
He doesn't realize that head shops are legal, so he thinks it's like, hey, welcome to Giacomo's, in quotes, deli. Would you like some deli meats to help you pass a drug test? Or maybe a sandwich that you can smoke tobacco out of?
But he has, like, magazines and packaged foods, hence deli. That's how it works.
Yeah.
I wish head shops sold food. That'd be good. If you had a head shop and you sold Pop-Tarts, you'd probably sell a lot of Pop-Tarts.
I don't know,
Kellogg
man.
Should make Pop-Tart edibles. Be good.
I don't know, man. It's savage out here. We don't have stores, you know?
Yeah, you do your grocery shopping at a CVS. I know what that's about. You guys think, like, I'm exaggerating. He literally just goes downstairs to a CVS.
Yeah, but, I mean, so good. Like, instead of dying.
Think about that, Jason, just for 1 second, all right? If you could, with your closed-minded thought process.
My point was, if you need to get more beer at midnight on Saturday, instead of going out drunk driving and dying, you just walk downstairs and get more beer.
You know? Really smart.
It's so good. You just, like, always walk downstairs.
When I said grocery shopping, you assumed I meant buying beer.
What the fuck?
Grocery shopping's code for buying beer.
What are you talking about, man?
I've seen JR eat food a couple times. Like, I know everybody thinks JR doesn't eat food, but I've actually seen him eat food.
It's more of like a formality at that point. Like.
If I'm ever a politician, I'll need to call American Express and like talk to them about my records, my cashback records, and the product categories, and the non-disclosure thereof.
That's all. Dude, politicians don't have to release their tax records. What are you talking about?
I know.
It's optional.
Yeah.
Someday we'll see what's going on.
Just have Sean Spicer get up there like, JR buys food all the time and doesn't just drink his dinner, period.
The guy at the pizza place is like, he knows me now.
Hey, you order 3 pizza pies a year.
Yeah. Like when sometimes I go there for lunch and he's like, I know you. You order on the weekend sometimes. You order Christmas Eve all the time. Christmas Eve, Thanksgiving, you always order these weird times. Very sad.
Your pizza order is like a suicide note.
Oh, God, that's weird.
Yeah, man, I ordered fucking pizza on New Year's Eve. Fuck you. It's like that time I was trying to play Moto on New Year's Eve and it crashed. And I didn't want to complain. Out of shame.
Because you'd have to let everyone know you're playing Moto on New Year's Eve.
I remember that story, actually. That's great, man.
Some people did complain on Twitter.
Not JR.
They're out.
He's saving face.
Like, if you're married, that's fine. But you can't do that when you're not married.
Yeah.
I mean, you could if you're me. But then after, like, 4 or 5 years of doing that, you start to get sad. But you need to get it out of your system. Ugh. So what were we talking about? I think we covered all the...
We were talking about Worth and how he had the worst fucking job, and I'm happy with his life now that he doesn't have to fucking deal with nerds anymore.
It's probably going to be a lot better, and again, like...
Did he say what he's doing? Is he staying with Wizards, or...
Doesn't matter, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he's on LinkedIn.
I meant that in a nice way. I didn't mean that.
You can find it.
Yeah, he meant doesn't matter in a nice way, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You guys said earlier that you wanted to talk about Morrow's 7-Eleven comment.
We did not say that. We recorded, we can prove that we didn't say that. So.
No, you said in a message, in like a text that you wanted to talk
about. I said explicitly that I don't want to talk about it in an email like a week ago.
All right, well, let's talk about it. Nah, some people don't know what comment you're talking about.
I don't either, because I went on Reddit trying to find it, and I couldn't find it, to be honest.
Just use the Google, man. I'm not talking about it, all right?
Talk about it!
Sometimes dreadnoughts have
power. What did he say?
Equal to 7-Eleven, no.
It was like a shitty Apu reference. People, you know... It's kind of like the Simpsons, honestly, I'll call it the Simpsons, like, it's a little shitty. Like the Simpsons were basically, like, making fun of, like, you know, Pakistani people to some extent. Even though Apu's character eventually became, you know, a good, reasonable character, which, like, was always going to be the case relative to Homer Simpson. But, like, at first it was like, the first time Apu was on the Simpsons, it was sort of, like, making fun of...
It was because Hank Azaria can do, like, really hacky voices, and they're like, oh, what if we had a character just so Hank could do this stupid voice?
Yeah, maybe, but, I'm saying, like, just calling out the Simpsons, like, I guess.
Yeah, those smug fucks need to be taken down a peg or two.
Oh, right, fuck the Simpsons.
Fuck the Simpsons. Also, Italians, like, what? The Italian pizza guy. Like, that guy was, like, a self-consciously, like, stereotypical guy. Like, I feel like the Italian pizza guy was their apology for Apu on some level. I have to, like, go back and, like, see what the first time the Italian pizza guy appeared. But...
You got some wild theorems, man.
I mean, The Simpsons, that was, like, the first good show.
Was their Apuology.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
These fucking VHS tapes I need to go through. I should probably just, like, fucking... destroy them at this point.
What, you like recorded The Simpsons from TV or
something?
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Why though?
Why would you? Like, it was like the 90s, man. That's what you did when you were in college. You're just like, you know, this is my, like, 100 episodes of The Simpsons. People are like, oh, sweet, man.
Yeah, I can't even make fun of you. The last thing that I recorded on VHS tapes was us playing Smash Brothers for the 64. Because you had to, some TVs didn't have the component hookup, and you had to go through a VCR.
Yep.
Like, so kids today won't fucking understand this shit, but back in the day, sometimes the only way to hook up an N64 or a PlayStation to a TV was to use a VCR, to go through a VCR. Because the VCR had, like, the three color jacks in the front or the back.
The RCA, man.
Yeah.
RVG, I think?
No, RCA was a three color. I think RVG was a four color. But, yeah, like, I probably mentioned this before, but I used to record the Howard Stern radio show on VHS tape because it was 6 hours long. And it was the only, like, tape long enough to record that long. And it was, like, one or two summers when I was working. I would just record it and listen to it at night.
You'd listen to it for 6 hours?
Yeah, the show was, like, 4 or 5 hours long.
Yeah. So you would sit there for 6 hours and listen to Howard Stern?
Yeah, with a TV on, with a blue screen. Just listening to the TV audio.
That's sadder than Moto on New Year's Eve. I don't know about you.
Dude, it was like the early 90s. It was before the internet. So, like, what are you going to do?
Yeah, that's true.
Like, what else are you going to do, man?
Basically, you have cable TV. But this was even before I had cable TV in my room. So, like, what else would you do? But listen to Howard Stern. I don't know. I haven't listened to Howard Stern in, like, 20 years.
There's a reason he's a fucking fossil.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if he's a fossil, but...
He's a fossil, because everything he thinks is retarded now. Like, everything he says is out of touch. Like, Ari Shaffir heard that Howard Stern was making fun of people who have podcasts, and he kind of shit on them on the Rogan show. Like, Howard was be like, podcasting, you're going to become a broadcaster from a podcast? I don't think so. What you got to do is go to some market like Rhode Island and beg them to put you on the radio and then do the show for a couple years, and then you'll know if you're a real broadcaster. I'm like, nobody podcasting wants to be a broadcaster, you fucking fossil. What are you talking about?
Yeah. I don't
actually,
know.
Actually, JR is the only one, man.
Yeah. No. We have this podcast because we couldn't hack being a fucking radio shock jock like Howard Stern.
I mean, there's a reason why we're not even on iTunes, is because I just want to, like, keep this, like, low-key between our friends. Like, we'd be ramping stuff up way more. We probably would have had Carrie Fisher on the show before she died if we were, like, seriously serious about having a serious podcast.
But we're not. That's why we don't release episodes of this show.
Like, I had my list of people I wanted to interview, like Carrie Fisher, Robert Crumb, the cartoonist. That guy's fascinating. I was listening to some other podcasts. They were interviewing him about just like being in San Francisco in the 60s. It sounded really good. But he was like sort of a dick because he basically like left his wife. He had like this like a decent advertising job in Ohio or something. And one day just like left his wife and went to San Francisco.
There you go.
Became a cartoonist.
It's a great career choice, man.
Yeah, leaving your wife is a pretty good idea, if you can pull it off.
People need to have children, man.
No.
Otherwise, we're just going to go downhill. I don't know.
I'm not giving that advice out, man.
Fucking A, man, I got children.
I mean, in the general sense, it's like the... it's like other people need to have children.
I don't know.
We're going to get to a point where... We will get to the point that the Karl Marx... point where it's like enough can be automated that people need to work less, but we're in this like in between stage where people like it's like a sort of a zero sum game. Like if in order for people to actually work less, like a bunch of people have to lose a bunch of money, but those are the most powerful people, so it's hard
because they don't want to.
Yeah, moon is there.
Oh man,
Bobbity Boopy.
So, the Do we talk about the first news you can remember thing? I think you want that, right, JR?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of. For me, it was, and it makes me feel old because I feel like mine is like the oldest of any that I've seen on Magic Twitter, and some of them are like so like new, it's almost like almost like look down on them like irrationally, like that's like garbage, even though there's no reason to. But for me, it was the Iran hostages. Like I remember. The only year I ever went to private school was kindergarten, and it was this religious place, and you would go to church, like maybe like three times a week, I think, or two or three times a week, and they would always talk about praying for the hostages. And I had no fucking idea what they meant, and it's like I pray for the hostages, like I'm not really praying any, like whatever. So that's like the first news that I remember, and then I do remember like the day actually they. That they came back, I was watching TV and they preempted TV too, and then I sort of like figured out what that was, but I don't remember the day that Reagan was shot. I remember actually like going like in 1980, going with my parents to like vote that day, but I didn't really like know who was running or who won or give a shit. And I didn't remember the day that Reagan was shot. Like, no one told me. I think, like, maybe it's possible, we went home from school early or something. But, like, no one was like, hey, Giacomo, the president was shot today. Isn't that exciting? Like, no one, like, as a kid at, like, five, like, you didn't really know. You weren't watching TV all the time, you know. So those are some early, which... It's about, right, like, people, I think Proxy Guy was saying, like, his first memories are, like, 5 years old. It's, like, about the same for me, born around 75. So this was, like, right around 1980. So it makes sense. But he was saying, Proxy Guy was saying his first memory was Challenger, which I remember.
That was 86. That's a little old for me. That was, like, January 86. That was a big deal, though.
Yeah. No, I remember I was in fifth grade and I was fucking livid. I was already like a bad kid. like I had a period after my parents got divorced around like second, third grade into like middle school where I was like sort of bad and would like shoplift and stuff. So by the time Challenger happened, I was already like kind of jaded. And I was livid that like the other fifth grade class was watching it live when it happened. And our class wasn't. It's like someone like came up to us like in the hallway during lunch and like was like talking about it. And I was like, what? And you guys were watching it. And he was like, yeah. It's like, fuck. Our teacher sucks. Like I always hated our teacher compared to the other fifth grade teacher. Like
you got put in that class cause you were shitty though.
Yeah, I was like, smart, but not. I wasn't like near the top in terms of the math, you know. But I was good with like some of the bad kids, like in terms of socializing them. Maybe I don't know, but that was like my bad period where I would like shoplift and stuff. The G.I. Joe guys, like little things, until like middle school. I straightened out. I think after puberty, like I got really nervous and like less confident. And like stop being bad, but yeah, those are my stories. Oh, and I also after like just a couple months after the Challenger happened, Chernobyl happened, which like another fiasco. Probably started like me on my course of like sort of being interested in fiascos.
Sounds like you just worked that out, man, in your head. I'm proud of you.
Oh, yeah, I had a good one the other day. Like, just something, like a pattern that, like, a 20-plus year pattern in your life that you just, like, sort of saw per se for the first time. And it's like, it's good to realize that.
Oh, man.
What about you guys?
I don't know, dude. I don't know. Like, I was born, like, 2 years after the Challenger thing, so... I don't know.
It was like OJ, or the LA riots, or...
Probably OJ, because I don't really remember the LA riots.
Yeah. And that's so, like, symbolic of the 90s. It was just, like, a period of, like, no big problems. And even in the, like, I realized that at the time, even as, like, a 20-year-old, I was like, man, things have been very stable for, like, a bunch of years. Nothing really crazy has happened for a long time.
Well, I think Rodney King showed that.
Well, that was a big, yeah.
I think that showed that there was shit that was
under this, yeah, and that, but that surface, sort of like went like, away.
That was gentrification started,
yeah,
in the 90s, sort of in a big way. And I think that was like an underlying social thing, and it just took one event. Because you remember the same around the same time as Rodney King, this white dude named Reginald Denny or something like that got pulled out of his truck and beat up, but like no one really gave a shit about it. Yeah. But like that happened like the same month as the Rodney King thing, and that was the way bigger story just because the fucking cops were saying shit and they got away with it, and it was just pretty much the worst. Yeah. And it just took something like that for it to just to be an obviously racially motivated thing that was so fucking unfair, getting caught on camera and just sort of like nobody being accountable for it.
Yeah, that was actually probably the biggest actual news story of the 90s, but it kind of got covered over by, I think, like the general prosperity at the time, where like even, you know, in African-American households, like they were seeing, you know, an uptick in sort of prosperity. So it was just sort of, it was like kept under the covers maybe for a bunch of years. But yeah, like the OJ thing is just, to me, it's just symbolic of like, or like the Lewinsky thing is just symbolic of a time where it's like nothing really was on the surface going crazy, going wrong. So your news is very superficial. It was like eventually September 11th, like kind of changed that sort of that mindset where you were like almost back in like a Cold War, sort of like, okay, things can like be, you know, go very wrong mindset.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't really have anything outstanding, so I don't know.
I remember the 88 Olympics. That was like the first thing I remember.
Was that Seoul?
I mean, I don't remember details. I just remember that Olympics were happening, and I didn't have a concept of the Olympics really. That was my first Olympics, and that was kind of a huge deal.
I think that was the first Olympics that Russia wasn't. It was like when they had the unified team. And it was like the first Olympics where it was like, yeah, we're going to fuck Russia because Russia is fucked. They may have been like the peak Olympics, like in terms, like, because people don't even give a shit about the Olympics anymore. It's almost like they regard it with disdain, like, you know, Brazil.
Well, it's because of the shittiest countries are getting in. It's just always like, oh, like the Olympic Village doesn't have fucking indoor plumbing and shit. It's ridiculous.
Well, I don't know if that, I think it's more like the corruption with how it's like managed. And also, it's almost archaic. I don't know. In a way, for some reason, it just feels archaic, like the circus or something. I don't know.
Well, the circus is fucking over, finally.
Yeah.
The biggest one.
That was it felt like weirdly out of place for years and years. Like, it's just like, it just felt like it was from another era. Like, why is there this thing with clowns and... But I need to remind myself, I need to, like, buy more, like, cereal boxes with pictures of weird clowns on them, like, to collect them. There's, like, a few good ones from the 60s of just, like, seriously disturbing Kellogg's cornflake boxes with weird clowns on them.
The fuck?
Like, you know, like, you can tell they're, like... like, they're, like, really old. Like, it basically comes, like, old guys with, like, lots of makeup... And like a maniacal face.
Yeah, I know what a clown is, dog.
Yeah.
I'm wondering why you're buying cereal boxes with clowns on them. You think the Ringling Brothers Circus closing down is going to mean there's financial upside on clown cereal boxes?
Yeah, I mean, there was an uptick during the clown scare this year in some of this stuff. So you need to get in. Oh, man.
People don't care for clowns.
I know, that's what I'm saying. But, like, ironic people might.
All right. Shouts out to the ironic fans of Money Draft.
Anyone still listening to this cast is doing it ironically.
This information that they're going to use, you know.
Yeah.
We were talking about before the cast where 2016 for me, like, EDH finance is so easy. Like, I used to be like, I used to think, oh, I'm just going to have to, like, pay attention to, like, 30 to 50 different decks and, like, what the meta... No, that's not what it's about.
Plus, there's so much raw data.
That basically, you just buy the cards that go with the commanders they print every year. That seems like the... And that's what you need to know. Well, it's also good to, like, have, like, a mental sorted, you know, list of what does what, but that's what it's about.
I've been trying to fucking tell people that for years. I don't know why it's taken so long to get everyone on board.
Yeah, no, it's just like if you go to EdRec, it's all just new commanders. There's maybe like one or two that aren't from the past 3 years, you know, in the top eight or whatever. So, I don't know. I need to spend... I've been trying to get away from that stuff for years now, though. Buying and selling cards, especially physical cards. Oh, man. The House of Cards. I don't know. Marcel, like, we were talking about that a little bit online. On Twitter, I mean. And I found it unseemly that they were, like, pushing their advertisement for their new season yesterday. Or 2 days ago. On the inauguration. Just based on... I don't know, like, probably a non-zero number of people had, like, subconsciously or consciously had, like, a different opinion about the Clintons because of that show. So, I don't know.
You think the House of Cards helped the Trump campaign win?
Yeah, it may have not pushed him over, but it had a non-zero effect, I would think, if, like, 25, 30 million people, you know, watch that show at some point and some percentage of them, you know, became more attuned to any sort of suggestion that the Clintons killed people or were just like profoundly corrupt. Yeah.
Well, I voted for Trump, so I'm ecstatic.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. I'm just like saying
the Chinese, like, took my job and I want my job back.
Yeah. Probably not coming back.
Nope.
Probably not coming back.
Because I'm not willing to do it for half of what I was paid. And there are other jobs in that industry I could get. But I'm staying home with my kid, and I love that. And I'm happy with the amount of money I'm making in MTG Finance. So it's not like, oh, I lost my job to the Chinese. It's more like that industry doesn't have a fucking future. You know? Like, we're just not going to do our analytical chemistry testing in this country for much longer. I mean, there's... I don't know. See, we can really get into it with the costs associated with developing pharmaceutical drugs. Because I realize it's super disgusting how much money gets spent on advertising. But it also costs literally billions to make drugs that don't end up working a lot of the time. So... Like, if a company does finally make a drug that works, they have, like, 3 years to make any money off of it before the patent elapses, and then somebody just makes a generic version of it. And everyone's like, well, why not just get the generic version? And it's kind of hard to tell people that have no fucking money and terrible healthcare that they should pay full price for drugs. So it's sort of like, we got to find some way to make the drug development process cheaper. And if it's paying some Chinese dude who's just as good a chemist as I am half of what they were paying me, and that's what they got to do, I guess. Globalism is coming for all your fucking jobs. So I don't really know how to feel about it, other than it costs a lot of fucking money to make drugs.
Yeah, I feel like that chart arguing that, like, you know, 80% of job losses are due to automation is sort of bullshit. I mean, it's clearly...
Globalization is a huge factor also. Yeah.
Just when you look at the raw, I mean, manufacturing jobs in the United States have only gone down by, I don't know, but it's like small number of millions of people, or if that, compared to just like the number of people who have been brought into like the capitalist sort of system in the past 20 years, you know, it's like 10x just. So I don't know, but definitely like nationalism very strong in Trump's speech, like to a ridiculous extent.
It's weird that like people think that like the president has the power to like keep jobs in this country and just doesn't want to.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, definitely like Trump, he had like this whole sort of idea that, these people are incompetent and just don't know how to get stuff done. And the whole thing was like a repudiation of Washington. And even in terms of like the attendance stuff, like people are like tweeting like, oh, it's like so much lower attendance. Like, well, what percentage of those people were from the Washington area? Because that area is all about civil service. So if the new president is like against civil service explicitly, like he basically said, like, you know, Washington is losing today. So, you know, that way, in terms of the attendance of the inauguration, like what percentage of those people were local, you know, when Obama was there. So I think that's obvious. That's like what this is about. It's just a intentional weakening of the federal government.
It's a lot of rhetoric. Yeah.
And for some reason, I put in the notes in Nietzsche, like, but the point was, like, Nietzsche was not necessarily a nice person, and I'm sure Hitler read Nietzsche as, like, very horny, and was like, yeah, it's, like, but he was always against German nationalism, per se, like, the phrase, Germany over, above all, was, like, a big thing back then. He was very critical of German nationalism, so... Not because he was even nice, just because he thought, I guess, that it turns...
That's a good thing. Thank God you're not trying to argue Hitler was nice.
No, I meant Nietzsche.
Oh, I wasn't listening to you.
Yeah. It was just a good... Nationalism just turns everyone into a machine, and it's very, like... It goes into, like the whole thing of Trump is, like, very straight-edge, like... And so much, like, religion also in the fucking speech. It was ridiculous. But
he's got to appeal, man. He's got to appeal to his loyalists.
Because he's got to make something sound like it's happening when it's not clear. Not clear.
Oh, man. Do we talk about Cube at all?
No, we started to last episode. Did you take a look at my Storm Cube at all?
Yeah, I talked about it with Motika a bit. Like, it definitely seems super fun. But, I don't know. I still don't know. There's some cards that, like, I don't know.
Yeah, there's definitely, like, cards where it's like, well, theoretically this could go in eggs or whatever, but... Or, theoretically, you could build a Prosbloom deck, but... Would you ever? But in general, like, I have no idea how, like, the decks would play. Like, if you built just, like, a solid green-white enchantments deck versus, like, a mediocre storm deck, like, I don't even know, like, how that would play out. So, but drafting it seems fun.
Yeah. It would be, can you do, on Cube Tutor, can you just do, like, AI drafts, or can you actually, like, if we had, like, six people, could we draft against each other and just draft?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I think it's just AI.
That'd be a sweet function.
But, yeah.
What? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I didn't play too much of the Legacy Cube. I mean, I was a little burnt out from Vintage Cube, so I didn't really want to jump right back on the bandwagon, personally.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely, I felt like I was just going 1-2 all the time. Like, with the red, like not having Sulfuric Vortex seemed to make a big difference. There were a number of games where I was just, like, got them down to 6, and then they would drop, like, Kitchen Finks, some other life gain, on their Planeswalker, and it would just be, like, I would be able to get them down to 3, but I would just die.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't actually get the red deck. The last one I did, I think it was me and Chase, and we did a five color planeswalker deck and 2-1'd. Lost in the finals. It was fun. I think like the lands are really good and like the cards are okay, so just like play a lot of colors. Like planeswalkers and wraths was fine.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing. And the planeswalkers, it's something that I'm disposed to not draft. But, I saw this one breakdown by, April King. And, yeah, she was saying she was, like, having these absurd records with just, like, planeswalker decks. Which is something I've complained about in the past, but it makes sense. And it's also what I found. It just didn't seem like there were enough archetypes, and even Reanimator. I had one good Reanimator deck, but it was hard to like kind of force Reanimator. The most interesting deck I had was Reanimator with not Coalition Relic, but the EDH card that makes all of your lands give any color. And that was sweet, like, to have, because I had Elish Norn and Dragonlord Tarka, and I wouldn't have like 3-0'd had I not been able to just like hard cast my guys. So that was a good variation of Reanimator, but that was the only like remotely interesting deck I had.
That's fair.
But definitely the Planeswalker count has to come down. It's just the percentage is so high and it just leads to like these long ass fucking games. You just fucking fall behind.
Well, that's why, yeah, I mean, that was like I think that deck is good, like just like playing it's like a fuck all creatures, fuck some artifacts, all the Planeswalkers, all the colors, like,
yeah.
Wrath of Gods, that's like.
That was one of the things about my Stormcube, like zero Planeswalkers.
Was that just out of spite?
Yeah. And, you don't even need them, but...
Yeah.
I don't even know what you would want. Maybe Jace Balarin or something. Or Jace, I mean, of course, but...
Jace Balarin would be a good include. Yeah. Maybe cut the Force of Will, put in Baby Jace.
Yeah. Yeah, Force of Will was just one of those, like, each color had, like, five core cards, where it's just like, all right, these are, like, the five most basic cards for this color. But four should probably come out.
I mean, it's just like the only decks that are going to take it. The only decks that are going to take it are going to be storm decks. Just yeah, and it's like, well, yeah.
Jason has killed himself.
Yeah.
Nope.
This whole episode's boring.
Frustration aimed at what I created has me feeling discombobulated. I hated the boredom, so I reinstated entertainment. For my well-being, now I'm seeing I made the wrong decision. My project had appeared easy, but had no direction and precision. Beginner's luck, only up to recent times do I feel stuck. I'm the only one to blame for things that ran amok. I built up a universe that is now building me, you see. Technological advancement is a creator now, and all things to be decided would have not even once touched my hands. My quote-unquote followers still constantly fill the stands on the so-called seventh day. For years it's been this way, but these people can't figure out whether it's a first or last day to pray. They seem to think that I'm forgiven of all, which means they have a scapegoat. If they happen to drop the ball, I've been coined various names, none of which to me are flattering. They look to me for guidance, but to me they do not matter in my eyes. There's nothing I can do to help this situation when they have internal conflicts with their whole congregation. They gather every week and speak of me in song. These beings I created in this project are terribly wrong. You all claim that you know me, but you really don't ever forgive me. You say of me in reality, I really won't. From the day I gave you life to your last anointment, you have all been nothing but divine disappointment. You all claim that you know me, but you really don't ever forgive me. You say of me in reality, I really won't. From the day I gave you life to your last anointment, you have all been nothing but divine disappointment. So now I'm stuck to figure out what I should do at this point in time. These creatures think that there's an afterlife, so they spend their whole life benign. They killed another creature years ago that claimed to be my son, so now they mold their lives after him and claim that he's the one that will save them, lead them to a new breath. I hate to break it to them.
I have nothing for you after death.
So carry on if you wish unknowing. Thinking breath is wind blowing, magnifying life opens the sun, and tears are rivers flowing. Think that every bad thing that happens to you is at my will, like bankruptcy, adultery, and the reason why others kill. Go on and be misled as you have your entire life. Think that I'll somehow reward you for all your pain and strife.
I can't control destiny.
Where'd you come up with that notion?
There's no cure for AIDS,
so don't even bother with that potion. I didn't create the disease to punish others, I didn't even make it. So if you have that frame of mind, you go ahead and break it. I'm sick and tired of feeling responsibility for all of you ungratefuls. I'm willing to share with the starving while you enjoy all of your playfuls. Even if I had the power to help you, I wouldn't even bother. So stop thinking that I love you and stop calling me your father. I didn't plan on you evolving into this mess with which I deal. Asking for my forgiveness when you
lie, cheat, and steal.
What the hell do you want me to do? Try and save yourself, I can't help your marriage, your children, or our status of health. My problems far away, and even so-called devastations, like this oncoming war between the so-called United Nations. I regret making all of you, you make my blood pressure climb. I wish I didn't make you, but even I can't turn back the hands of time.
You know that you know me, but you really won't ever forgive me. You saved me in reality, I really won't. From the day I gave you life to your last anointment, you have all been nothing but divine disappointment. You all claim that you know me, but you really don't ever forgive me. You say of me in reality, I really won't. From the day I gave you life to your last anointment, you have all been nothing but divine disappointment.
I like sports interviews that like go into like full like fights. It's like a, you'd have like a top four of those sports interviews gone wrong.
Money draft.
Hey, my brother, when you was making those fart noises with your mouth earlier, that was the fucking funniest shit I ever heard in my life. Those some good quality fart noises. They were insalubrious. They were ubiquitous.
Money draft.
Only for the post-posthumous. Yeah, after Jake dies.
So when you die, like, all the shit I said about people is going to come out? I don't know how I feel about that.
Fuck you, dude. I didn't die.